Encore with Shannon Fogarty. Arts and entertainment for the Midlands. With the Dean Crow Theatre and Arts Centre Athlone. Imagine the possibilities. DeanCrowTheatre.com.
Welcome to Encore on Midlands 103 with me, Shannon Fogarty, the Midlands' dedicated arts show, bringing you the absolute best of what's happening in the arts in Laois, Offaly and Westmeath. So to get in touch, you can pop me a text on 083 3010 103 or you can email me at encore@midlands103.com, or you can follow us across all of our social media channels at Midlands103. So tonight we have a very busy show for you. You will hear from a few people in the Technological University of Shannon on the different range of courses, art courses that they have available. You'll hear from Athlone Little Theatre, who are in the process of rehearsals for their next production, which is on the Leaving Cert syllabus this year. You'll also hear from an artist who, along with the Dunamase Arts Centre, is holding a child-led exhibition. And you'll hear from an Athlone woman who has brought junk couture to Abu Dhabi. It's a very, very busy show tonight. But first, let's jump in to my first guest. So I'm very lucky. So for those students who have completed their mocks, they're trying to think of what they want to do next. So what they want to do with their future. And I know when I was searching for courses that I wanted to do when I had finished school, which was a good few years ago, I didn't know what was out there and what was available. So I had the idea to bring somebody in from TU, so the Technological University of Shannon, to talk about the different range of art classes that are available. So I'm very lucky to be joined by Adam Deato, who's the head of design at the Limerick School of Art and Design, which is under TU. So I'm very lucky. So I have Sean, who's the Dean of Faculty of Engineering and Informatics in the Athlone campus, which is included in TU. Sean, hello, how are you?
Hi, Shannon, how's it going?
Very good. Now, thank you so much for joining us.
Thanks for having me.
No problem. So I know, I guess my first question for you is, there are a wide variety of courses that you have under TU for arts, but I know there are a few courses that you have in the Athlone campus. So what courses would you have over there for the arts?
Well, look, I totally understand it can be quite bewildering, the total variety of programs that are available across the higher education sector, and TU is no different. So across the Technological University of Shannon, we offer a range of arts and design programs in all of our campuses, in Athlone, in Moylish, Clare Street, Limerick School of Art and Design, of course, and Clonmel and Ennis. In Athlone, we have a long history in the graphic design area. So we offer a Level 7 graphic design degree. We offer a Level 8 graphic and digital design degree. We offer a Level 8 animation and illustration program, and we offer a music and instrument technology and music and sound engineering program. So there's a range of programs for anyone who has an interest in creative arts.
That's brilliant. And I actually have the head of design, Adam Deato, on the other line. So, Adam, thank you so much for joining us.
Hi, how are you?
I'm very good, very good. So I know you are the head of design within the Limerick School of Art and Design, and there's a larger variety of courses that you have over there rather than what's in the Athlone campus. So what sort of courses, what range of courses in the arts would you have based in Limerick?
Correct, yeah, Sean. We have three departments in Limerick School of Art and Design, and as Sean pointed out, they're based across our Moylish, our Clare Street and our Clonmel campuses. So the three departments are my own department, which is the Department of Design. We have a Department of Fine Art and Education, and we have a Department of Digital Arts and Media. So within each of those departments, there's around about five bachelor's programs. Most of them are Level 8 bachelor's programs. So, for example, in our own department, the Department of Design, we'd be... We have programs in animation and motion design, in ceramic design, in graphic design, interior design, and in fashion and textiles design. In fine art and education, of course, then we have fine art painting, we have fine art sculpture, we have photography and moving image, and we have print and contemporary practice. And obviously, because it's a fine art and education department, we also have a bachelor of education degree in art and design teaching. And digital arts and media then has a range of programs, some similar to the Athlone campus, but in animation production, in music technology, in art, in TV and film, etc. Okay, so that gives you some sense of the cross section across Limerick School of Art and Design.
There is a wide variety of courses, and I guess one of the questions that I have to ask is, what's your advice for students that are researching these sort of courses that they want to get into?
So assuming that's for me.
Yes, it is. For you, Adam.
Yeah. It as Sean pointed out, it's quite a bewildering selection of programs. So I suppose my general advice to any school leavers would be to obviously do your research. All the information is on the programs, is on the TUS.ie website. But also to see if you can visit either through an open day or just give us a call or drop us an email and we'll arrange to meet you in person. And you can come into the college and see some of the work and the students, meet some of the students. I always say that the students are sometimes the best advocates for their own programs, and they'll give you probably a better sense of what a program is about than even the lecturers will. Okay, and they'll give you the real version of it. Our own students are pretty passionate about what they do generally, and they're more than happy to speak to people. But equally, speak to people in your community who are artists, designers, or media designers, and get a sense of what the career paths are like. They're really, really wide and varied. And art, design, and media, you know, broadly the creative subjects offer huge opportunity for people from career perspective. You know, with burgeoning film industry, lots of our graduates are solo practitioners, artists in the design sector. Everything from, as I say, fashion design to ceramics, graphic design is a very large area of employment. So lots and lots of opportunity.
Okay, that's brilliant. And I guess I'm just going to jump to Sean again. Sean, I'm just wondering now, for some of the courses that you've mentioned as well as Adam, what are the basic requirements that students are going to need for some of these courses?
Well, I think it varies by program. So obviously, as Adam said, the most important thing when you're researching these is to make contact with the colleges and speak to the staff, because they'll be able to help you with individual requirements. But broadly speaking, a lot of the design or the creative arts areas require a portfolio of work to be presented, and there's different requirements for different programs in those portfolios. So the first place to start is always the website. Always start with the website and figure out what are the portfolio requirements, when do the portfolio reviews happen. If you're not sure of those things, contact the teams in the colleges. As Adam said, anybody in TUS will be very happy to talk to you, and more importantly, they'll be happy to take you through the labs and get a feel for the environment so you can understand what they're looking for. And as Adam said, you know, students are obviously our best advocates and our best ambassadors, so sometimes the best way of knowing what to look for is to look at previous students' work and see what their portfolios look like, and you'll get a much quicker feel for what are the team looking for in an applicant.
I guess you just took the next question right out of my mouth, so I'll just go back to Adam. As I said, where can they find pieces done by previous students to get more of a feeling and an understanding of the courses that they're wanting to look into?
Sure, yeah. So we have a website, it's called lsadgraduates.ie. All one word, lsadgraduates.ie, and if you look that up, you'll see I think about 8 years of archive of final year works from the art, design, and media students in LSAD, and it's by year, by program, and you get a really, really good sense of the type of work that the students produce as part of their final year works. They all produce work in their final year as part of their final assessments. And it forms a portfolio effectively of their work and gives them their first entry into employment. So, yeah, lsadgraduates.ie is a pretty good digital resource for seeing that. I should also say, maybe, Shannon, in LSAD, the majority of our art and fine art and design programs are four-year programs, so level 8 honours degree, BA honours degrees. But the first year of that is what we call a common entry. So all of the students come into first year and they get to sample a range of disciplinary projects before they choose their specialist pathway for the final 3 years. So again, like Sean pointed to, it's a portfolio assessment as it is in Athlone, slightly different criteria. But the types of things that we look for in the portfolios, you know, mm-hmm. we're really looking to see your creative skills and anything from sketchbooks, project work. If you've built a chicken shed out the back, we'd like to see photos of that. if you have, it doesn't have to be something that you've done in your art class or in your design and communication graphics class in secondary school. We're really interested in, you know, movies, photography, clothing that people have made for themselves. So yeah, the full range. But all the details again are on the portfolio guidelines on the TUS website.
Yeah, so everyone can visit tus.ie or, as you said, lsatgraduates.ie. I'd like to thank both of you again. Thank you so much for coming on to the show, and I appreciate your time. You are back with Encore on Midlands 103 with Shannon, and I'm very excited because my next guest is directing a play that is included in the Leaving Certificate English syllabus this year. I am delighted to be joined by director Billy Knott, who is directing Philadelphia Here I Come with the Athlone Little Theatre. Billy, how are you?
I'm very well, thank you very much. Yeah, great.
Thank you for coming on. So you are doing Athlone's Little Theatre's next production of Philadelphia Here I Come on March 9th to 16th. Can you tell us a little bit about the play?
Well, the play is probably one of Brian Free's best known, but he has a number of best-known plays, but this was the one that he made the major breakthrough in 1964, Philadelphia, Here I Come, and it was put on in the Gaiety to great acclaim. The play is a bit unusual in that the lead part of Gar, who is the son of S.P.O. O'Donnell, who is the night, and the action takes place the night before he emigrates to Philadelphia from Donegal. And there are two actors playing Gar. There's Gar Public and Gar Private. So you have the Gar that you're supposed to see. You do see the Gar Private, but he really is the conscience of the Gar. The real thoughts of what's going through Gar Public's head. So on that, it was a kind of a novel idea that Friel had learned from his travels. And it made for a very exciting and interesting play. As I said, the play, like it's I suppose on the face of it, it's about emigration, you know, which was a big topic in the Ireland of the 50s and 60s and so on. But there's more depth to it than that. It also goes into the communication aspect between the father and son. And it's a tragic comedy, which means Friel has mixed comedy and tragedy throughout the play. It's a very interesting mix. In many ways, there's two or three other plays within the play, if you like, you know, cameo pieces, mm-hmm. Where the Yanks visit and where the boys come in from the pub and so on. So from that point of view, it's a very, the audience find it very attractive as a play, you know.
As you said, it's one of Friel's most popular early works before he passed.
Yeah, it's probably the first one that he made his name on. And after that, of course, came Dancing at Luna's and Translations and other great plays, you know.
And this play is actually included in the Leaving Certificate this year in the English syllabus.
It's on the Leaving Certificate, as we well know, because we're doing previews for the schools next week before we open. We couldn't accommodate them because they'd have booked us out. So it's for the schools of Athlone, I'm afraid, and that's as far as we can go with it. And they're very interested in it. But unfortunately, we're only a small theatre, 100 seater, so and we have to look after our patrons first. And whatever, we are accommodating the schools for 3 nights in previews, and we're looking forward to that next week.
So this is a cast of 14, which includes 5 newcomers.
A cast of 14, with 5 newcomers, and the interesting part is that the 11 of the 14 are men. Which is very unusual in modern plays because it's hard to get men to go on the stage, you know. So, and there are three females then. And they make up in quality, I can assure you. From that point of view, it can be difficult to cast. But I was delighted when we came to the reading that a lot of men turned up and I was able to cast it, because it's a play I've been wanting to do for a long time now. Ever since I saw it win the All-Ireland Drama Festival in 1984, it was, with Temple Players, I was really taken by the play and said to the play I'd love to direct someday. So it's been a long time since I got around to it.
As I see here, you actually have a matinee on the Sunday, which is the first time the Athlone Little Theatre has one.
We decided to try a new venture and have a matinee on the Sunday. Now, we could have had that booked out by schools as well, but we asked them to hold back and we're doing the previews instead. And we're hoping that people that wouldn't normally come out, say, in an evening time, might like to come and see the play on the Sunday afternoon. It's at 3 o'clock, the matinee.
Perfect. And tickets can be bought at athlonelittletheatre.ie.
athlonelittletheatre.ie online. All booking is online these days. And so that's how tickets can be got. Apart from the opening night, which is a charity night. We always have a charity night on the opening night. And they're not online booking. They're sold locally here.
How are the newcomers finding being on stage?
Well, you know, they have it's not an easy play to do, and they have really stood up to the mark very well. And they really are doing very well, particularly now the Josh Early, who's playing Gar Public. He has been on the stage before, but this is his first major part, and he has put such great work into it and is doing really well. And the other Gar is Gar Private David Kelly, who I had in a play before called Living Quarters, another free play, and I knew playing Gar Private is a very, very, very tricky part for an actor. And in fact, in Athlone, and that one that won the All-Ireland, Jerry Stenbridge, who went on to great fame in the professional theatre, played that part. So it's a tricky part, but David is doing a great job in it.
Oh, that's great to hear, because it is tough to play a conscience for a character.
Exactly. And he's dressed in black, you see, and mm-hmm. but he hovers all over the place like as a conscience would. Oh. You know?
He must play it very well.
Yeah, he does, yeah. He's very, 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 very good at it, yeah.
And is this your first time directing with Athlone Little Theatre, or do you direct?
Oh, Lord, no. This is, I think, sixth or seventh time. This is my second free to play, I think. And I've done plays like O'Casey's Shadow of a Gunman and a few other plays as well as the one act. So it's about my sixth or seventh time, yeah.
And as you said, this is the one play you've always wanted to do. Is there a reason that this is the one that you've wanted to do for as long?
Well, I wanted to do it. First of all, we weren't sure that our little theatre would accommodate it, because we don't have a huge stage. And because the set is in two parts, a split set, mm-hmm. with Gar's bedroom and then the kitchen where the action takes place, and then there's the door into the shop where S.P. O'Donnell works in next door in his hardware shop. And normally you require a big stage for that, but we extended the little theatre there about 10 years ago, and that has given us more depth in the stage, maybe not more width because we're stuck with that, but gave us more depth, which meant we're able to do productions like this now, which we wouldn't have been able to do before. But apart from that, when I saw the play first, I was just taken by it. I'd never seen it before until that first time that I saw it in the All-Ireland, and I just was captivated by the whole excitement of the play, the action in the play, the humour in it, and then the kind of tragic part of it at the end, you know.
And the play actually takes place over the evening of his departure to Philadelphia. So
that's right. But then the evening of his departure. But you see, there's flashbacks to, for instance, when he is out with the girlfriend who she decides to marry, a more healed guy than him, and. Possibly one of the reasons why he wants to go away. Mm-hmm. And then there's the flashback to the visit by his Aunt Lizzie, the American, the typical American lady with her husband and friend, and flashback to that. But then the rest of it is, as you say, the evening before and the early morning hours before his departure for Philadelphia.
I know a lot of people nowadays are all departing over to Canada or in America itself now, so it resonates with people today.
Well, that's true. It will resonate because, as you say, a lot of people are travelling and the effect is the same. Nowadays, it's not very often for economic reasons. They want to change, they want to see the world and so on and so forth. But nevertheless, the cut away from the ties and so on is the same. And while communication, there was no mobile phones in those days.
No.
Communications is much better today with computers and mobile phones. Nevertheless, the effects of cutting the family ties mm-hmm. and taking off to the States or anywhere else, as you say, Australia, wherever, then the effects of that are the same and it will resonate with people like that, yeah.
Yeah, and the ties in the play itself, it's Gar and his father don't have the best relationship.
No, well, this is, actually, it's probably more of a feature of old Ireland, the 50s, 60s and earlier, where the father did the work and had virtually nothing to do with the raising of the family. And the communication was often not the best. Nowadays, the father's expected to be involved in raising of the children,
yeah.
Whether it happens or not. But in those days, and as a result, communication wasn't great between father and son. And it's always an issue with men anyway, the inability to communicate. And so that is featured in it. Now, Gar wasn't raised by his mother because his mother died close to childbirth, shortly after childbirth. So he's really raised by the housekeeper called Madge, played by Chrissy Keene, who is actually the chairperson of Athlone Little Theatre. And it plays this part to perfection, really, you know. And she is a key role in the play as well.
And she actually took part in the Banshees of Inisherin as well.
She did, that's right. Yes, she had she's really committed to the stage in so many ways as a non-professional actor. And she did, yeah, take part in that. So that's her claim to fame as well, yeah.
It's a lovely little claim to fame, so it is. It's nice to see that she's going back to a local and doing plays like this.
Yeah, it is, yeah. And they've all worked so hard because it is a difficult play to put on. I demanded extra rehearsal time for it for that mm-hmm. reason. And so to be sure that we would have it a pit-pat by the time we go on for the opening night. And having seen the run-through last night and doing the run-through again tonight, I can assure listeners that it really will be a good production of this this classic play. It really is a classic at this stage.
So if anyone wants to get tickets, they can go on to Eventbrite or they can go on to athlonelittletheatre.ie. And what time is the play running from?
No, we'll be running each evening at 8 o'clock. We run for 8 o'clock. And as you say, if you go online, it's quite simple. You book online and that's it. You just turn up then. That's the way.
Oh, it's very exciting. Billy, thank you so much for coming on and telling us all about the play. It sounds incredible. Yep. And I know all the school that is going to attend from Athlone is going to be very lucky to be able to see this play.
Yeah, I hope so. And I expect it to go well. Thanks very much for your interest.
Thank you again to Billy for joining us. So Dunamay's Art Gallery is delighted to host a children's exhibition for young artists, which is facilitated by my next guest, artist Caroline Keane. Caroline, thank you so much for joining me.
Thank you so much for having me.
So this is for 8 to 12-year-olds that take part in your weekly art classes at Dunamay's Arts Centre, and they're collaborating for a child-led exhibition. So how long is this running for, and can you tell me a little bit more about the exhibition itself?
Yeah, sure. So the exhibition runs until March 5th, and we actually have a couple of young artists. So our youngest age is 5 years, so we're running from 5 to 12 years, and it's a group show of 65 artists, and as you said, these artists all attend my weekly art club. So I have about 6 art clubs that run from Mondays to Wednesdays across Portlaoise, and they worked all through the month of January gathering inspiration and getting their ideas ready for the show. So the show is a mixture of all different mediums and all different kinds of artwork and, of course, all different themes. So as you said, it's a child-led exhibition, which means there was no theme.
Yeah, you mentioned that when I was speaking to you on the phone earlier. So they had the freedom to explore whatever subject and media they wanted. So I guess, were there a lot of similar pieces that each child had, or was there a variety of different?
Actually, funnily not. It's really interesting. Child ed is kind of becoming a little bit more popular in terms of in education circles, and it's actually more suitable. It's really, I suppose, more regular in art making, because it's really true to how an artist makes work. So it really is facilitating and responding to a child's creativity while giving them the space to lead the way, so that each child has their own say and ownership on all of the decisions and I suppose really choices in the creative process. So you're just really responding to each child's thought or idea. So funnily enough, each artwork was very individual, but throughout the process, of course, when we try things and are experimenting with different mediums, the kids begin to collaborate together and inspire each other. So we had a lot of painting, a lot of drawing, but in some instances we had some paintings of animals, say like a peacock or a cat, and then other students were inspired by that and created like sculptural forms almost in response to painting. So a lot of connections with the artwork, but most definitely all really, really individual.
They all sound really so creative and fascinating.
Yeah, and it was really important to kind of, I wanted to give them a chance, I suppose, after having such a terrible, hard years, you know, with COVID, to give them a space to say yes to things, you know, that there was no limitations. In school, we have, you know, process and a curriculum and a structure. So I want to give them the freedom that if they wanted to, say, add clay or lights or have it hang from the ceiling, if we had the time and we could get the materials, that we would, you know, really making it, giving them the chance, I suppose, to learn like an artist does, through experimentation and trying things out and failure, because not all things go right, and that's okay, and we can start again. So yeah, they really worked together and they really got into the process. So it was really important that we focus on the process rather than the product, and it didn't matter what went up in the wall, it was all about getting there.
That's so sweet. And I know when I spoke to you earlier, you said that some of these artworks are available, they're for sale.
Yes, so as they were young artists going into the gallery, using the gallery system, I wanted them to have interact with all the elements as a normal professional artist would. So they got a letter of acceptance from the lovely gallerist in Dunamaze, Laura Dunn, and she kindly came up and workshopped with them. So they got to learn actually all about how the gallery works and how artists make money. So she taught them how, you know, a gallery operates, how we make catalogues, how sometimes if the artists would like to keep their original work, they can then make prints. So all of the artworks are available in print format, the paintings, the sculptures, and we have two fabulous comics as well, which can be bought in their entirety. And Laura brought them through that process and taught them how, you know, the gallery takes a commission, but the profits will go to the young artists. And they had a say in that too, and how to price and how to hang their work. And also, very importantly, what sweets and beverages will be served at the reception. So all of these wonderful artworks are available to order. You can order them at the Dunamaze Art Centre, or you can contact myself. So you can get into a very early on onto a very aspiring artist's career. And actually, one of my friends was saying it's a great tip if you were looking for something new to take up for Lent, to support the arts. It's a great way, and also to support young artists.
And I guess I just have one quick question. What sort of sweets will there be?
Well, there was sweets at our beautiful reception. We had Doritos, mini burgers, chocolate, eclairs, cookies. Very specific. No wine or cheese. You know, they really wanted it to be for children. So it's art by children, most definitely for children.
That's brilliant. And if anyone wants to get any more information, they go to the Dunamaze Arts Centre's gallery. And it's open Tuesday to Saturday, and it varies at times. Caroline, thank you so much for coming on and telling us all about that. It's so sweet to hear about this sort of thing.
No problem at all.
So my next guest is an absolutely incredible woman. She's an Athlone woman that has brought Junkature to Abu Dhabi. I am very lucky to be joined by Katie Brill, the Athlone woman that brought Junkachore to Abu Dhabi. Katie, thank you so much for joining me.
Oh, thanks for having me, Sean. It's great to be here.
Just for some of our listeners who aren't aware about what Junkachore is, what is it and how has it become as big as it has today?
Yeah, so I suppose Junkachore is the world's largest youth sustainable fashion platform for youth. And through the programme that we offer to schools, Junkachore challenges young people between the ages of 13 to 18 to design, upcycle and create high-end couture. But there's one rule, it has to be from 100% recycled materials. And once they do that, they create these like unbelievably striking outfits, fit for the runway, fit for the Met Gala, and they get to showcase their sustainable designs at live events across the globe. And for Junkachore, it really is what we're trying to create, is the sport for creative kids. And Shannon, I'm sure you're aware of the social capital benefits that young people get in school when they play in sports or they're a part of a team. And we thought to ourselves, like, what about the creative kids? Like, where's their community? And that's what Junkachore is all about. But secondary to that as well, we also want to create the circular engineers of tomorrow. Like us all, young people can often feel helpless in the face of the climate crisis. And what we want to do at Junkachore is provide them with this platform to showcase their creative solutions to climate change, give them a voice within the environmental movement, but also to equip them with the green skills like problem solving, innovation, team working. And they're the skills that are required for the climate reality that these students are going to lead one day. So that's really what Junkachore is all about. But how did we get here to where we are today? At the moment, we are in 6 markets. I'm sure a lot of the audience, they will know Junkachore. We're in 60% of secondary schools across Ireland. And it was actually 2020, which was a terrible year for us all. But actually for Junkachore, it was a total liberator for the brand. We had marked 10 years in schools across Ireland. And there was only 4 of us, including the CEO at the time, working for Junkachore. And we thought, where do we go from here? We rely so heavily on events. You know, our last event in 2019 was in the Three Arena. And when I had taken part back in 2012, it was in like the City West Hotel, I believe it was. I can't even think back that far. So it had grown each and every year. And we thought, how do we grow from here when we don't have events? So we actually collaborated with RTE, and we brought the Irish competition onto national television with RTE, which was fantastic. But we also had so much time on our hands to think of how do we take this global, because there is an appetite for this, a sport for creative kids. And it was tough work. We were working from the ground up, lots of emails, reaching out to schools in France, Italy, New York City, the UK, and then the UAE as well. And the appetite and the response was incredible. And we just had our first ever world final just there in January 2023 in the Etihad Arena in Abu Dhabi, where 10 design teams from 6 markets competed on one stage. And would you believe it, Shannon, it was a local team. So Back to the Future from Knockmuir, a secondary school in Longford, took home the overall winning award that night as the World Designer of the Year. So I loved that, bringing it home for the Midlands.
That was sweet. That is very sweet that the Midlands got to bring it home.
Yeah, I couldn't believe it. But it was well deserved. The two boys that created that design are super talented, Joshua and Solomon, and they had everything but the kitchen sink in that design, and it looked so fashion forward and futuristic, so it was well deserved.
That's incredible. And I mean, how was it when you brought Junkachore to Abu Dhabi? What was the reaction like over there?
Yeah, it was insane, honestly. I was so excited for the challenge. So that was September 2021 time, and I packed up my bags in Athlone and off I went to the UAE. And you know, this was a brand new market. They were all so unfamiliar with what Junkachore was. I know there's a lot of expats and Irish teachers out there who are great support, but I knew it wasn't going to be easy and that I'd have to learn a lot about the social and cultural norms, very different to Ireland, the approach to doing business in the Middle East, finding new partners to support us, and then understanding the school curriculums. And with 14 school curriculums out there, it's not just like you're in Ireland, you have the Irish school curriculum with the junior cert, leaving cert, there's TY and you can fit Junkachore there. It's very different and it's heavily focused on academics and sport and not much for creative kids. So we really had to work on reaching out to the Ministry of Education for support. which we were delighted with that they endorse us. We also saw within the schools they have, you know, a lot of the big push on the United Nations Sustainable Development Goals. So they thought Junkature was a great fit, making sustainability education fun for kids through creativity. And you don't have to be a student who wants to study fashion design or is particularly creative. It's all about your imagination. We've lots of kids that are into woodwork and engineering, and they take part in Junkature and create a very structured design. And that's what we saw within the UE as well. It was fantastic, and the reaction was just insane. For me, it brought me back, and I just went, you know, there's a place for this in every country around the world. And the appetite from the schools right through to our partners, like we partnered with Etihad Airways, their global airline partner, and it was just a surreal moment for the brand that started in the northwest of Ireland to now be in 5 other countries in the world. It's insane.
It is. And as you said, it brings you back because you were a former overall winner back in 2012.
Yes, yeah, so I took part in Junkature in 2012. I was in Our Lady Fair Sector School in Athlone, and gosh, it's a distant memory now, that is for sure. Like, oh my god, but I can't believe this is where I am now working with Junkature. I took part when I was like 15-16, partnered up with my two friends, and we got collecting orange peel from the juice bar in Athlone town centre, and they thought we were crazy coming in and asking them for their bin bag full of orange peel. And you know, we were scooping out the pulp by hand, and we were experimenting with how to dry them out, and we just knew we wanted to be really innovative and so different. And I can't believe back in 2012 we chose such a unique material, and I'm so proud of us for doing that, because that design still exists in Our Lady Fair Secondary School in Athlone. It's still in the art room, and it's not as brightly coloured or as freshly smelling, but it still exists. And that's the whole circularity approach with Junkature. And it was just an incredible experience for me, as the benefits I got with working in a team and getting that creative outlet as a student, but also the confidence it instilled in me was just insane, to get up on stage to perform, not giving up when the design rotted and you had a deadline to meet or whatnot. And then we went on and we won the Glamour Award and the Western Region Award at the time. Very different awards system now that what it was in 2012, but I was taken off straight to the Late Late Show at the time with Ryan Tuberty, and then we walked the green carpet at the time, because it wasn't red, because it was the Hobbit film had launched in London, and we were on this green carpet with Ian McKellen and Prince William and Kate, and I just thought, this is incredible. I was very much a creative student in my childhood, and Junkature just provided me with that outlet to be myself. And I went off then into secondary school, through secondary school, and stayed involved in the Junkature community. But I then wound up in Edinburgh studying dietetics. I know there's a food trend going on here, the orange dress, and now I was studying in university dietetics. But I graduated in 2019, and the CEO of Junkature rang me up and was like, what are you up to? And I was saying, oh, I'm waiting for my registration to come through to start working in hospital. I've just graduated with a first class in dietetics, like, so excited to get started. And he said, well, get rid of your part-time job, and while you're waiting for that registration, would you come work for us for a couple of months? And now, 3.5 years later, I haven't looked back. I've never practiced as a dietitian in any hospital.
Oh, wow. It's such a lovely story to think that you were on stage being a part of this, and now you're working to make sure that it is something that happens all over the world.
Absolutely, and that's one of my favourite parts of the job, Shannon, is I get to continue to empower young people all around the world. Students who, yes, they might be academic and sporty, and they might be creative, and they just have no outlet to show that creativity. And with sustainability now, it's not going anywhere. And you have to remember that these students are the future. And, you know, I see these students have to be equipped for the climate reality they're going to lead. And what better way to, you know, tap into these green skills and become better at them for when you're going into the workforce than through your own innate creativity and something fun that you can do with your teammates and perform on local stages and get all these amazing opportunities out of. So it's one of those ones, the purpose for me and why I do what I do, it's so clear with how much I love Junkature from my own experience.
Oh, you can hear the passion of what you have for it. It's incredible. So what is next for Junkature now after the World Finals?
Yeah, so basically with the World Final happened in January, the calendar for us was pushed a little bit because there was some COVID still existing last year, so that didn't help. But what happened for us now is we have a number of events planned for 2023. So we've the World Retail Congress in Barcelona with our partner Deloitte. We're hoping to have some Irish students present at that exciting event. Also at COP28 in Dubai later this year, we definitely want to have a presence at that. And then we're really excited about announcing the location of our second World Final later this year. So hopefully we'll have some fantastic, talented designs from Ireland, the youth of Ireland at that location, which will be a different location to Abu Dhabi. So fingers crossed we get to announce that in the next couple of weeks and students will be excited about it. But also it's to continue to grow and nurture the talent in the six markets we're already in and look to expand further. So some places on our radar like LA, Australia, Cape Town and Mumbai. Looking at the southern hemisphere of the world as well, where, you know, poverty and climate change meet. So we really want to make sure that we are spread across the world, giving all students an opportunity. We're very inclusive. There's no cost involved to take part in Junk Couture.
And that's just it. How can young people get involved with Junk Couture now for 2023?
Yeah, so submissions for 2023 are already in, and young people from across Ireland you know, can get involved in the next cycle of Junk Couture, which is just around the corner. So for any young people who are listening in today or any educators who are wanting to bring Junk Couture into your classroom, I would get your students thinking about their inspiration and what unique materials that they can get their hands on to work with. So really think outside the box. It's not just collecting materials from in your household. Why not contact a manufacturer of a bread company to see if they've any faulty packaging, or go into, you know, we need another orange peel dress in Junk Couture. Hasn't been one since 2012. So go into a juice bar in your local town and take their rubbish off them. And you can join our community by following us on social media and checking out our website, where you'll get access to lots of content and resources to really get your imagination going, so that when September comes along for the next cycle of Junk Couture, you are ready to go with creating your sustainable design.
That is incredible. And as you said, everyone can go onto social media and your website, which is junkcouture.com. And that's couture with a K.
Yes, two Ks. Junk Couture. I always say two Ks.
Katie, thank you so much for joining us on the show today. I really appreciate it.
No problem at all, Shannon. Thank you so much for having me. It's been a pleasure. Thanks so much again.
That is all the time we have for tonight. Again, thank you to all of my guests that joined me this evening. And if you want to get in touch, you can email encore@midlands103.com.